Hey, fantasy football owners, the road to winning your fantasy football championship starts now. I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception. Join me and James Coe as we take a deep dive into the position that's going to make or break your fantasy roster, wide receivers. We analyze route running, target share, and all the metrics that matter, giving you the insights you need to draft the best wide receivers. As you prep for your draft, let us give you the coverage you need. Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show with Zach and Josh. Brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com.
Good morning. Happy Tuesday.
It is Tuesday.
Had a wonderful 3-day Labor Day weekend. Watched a lot of college football. And now it is game week for the NFL. Zach Jones and Josh Schmidt here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. And finally, Josh, it is game week, an actual game week for the Buffalo Bills. But you are listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show, brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com. And just right away, we're going to kind of get into sort of the question of the day, with it being sort of the last kind of opportunity those of us can have to do this. It is sort of predictions week. You know, me and Josh will be on today and tomorrow.
Last minute predictions.
For the NFL, for the Bills, what have you, I want to hear them. It can even be college football takes. I mean, we've seen some teams play two games. I don't care. Predictions for
Florida
football season.
Florida State. What happened?
They're not good.
I know. What happened? How did it go that
oh, man.
Bad?
I mean, to those of us who could watch the game, I was actually not one of them either. So I had to, like, discover everything through Twitter and then stream. It was a good time.
I want to know where the guy is that made that. The comment on Twitter about a bet he would do if FSU lost.
From what I've seen, he has deleted basically everything.
Yes, and that is
good for him.
That's a cowardly move. Basically, this guy said that he would do something absolutely disgusting that involved eating something out of a Solo cup.
Yep. It's not good.
No, it's not great.
It's just like, why would you do that, man?
No, why would you subject yourself to that? But now he's hiding. So, America, brutal. We need to find him.
Hate to see that. Brutal. Yeah, I watched a lot of college football over the weekend. Mm-hmm. I did a little bit of golfing as well.
Clemson looked bad.
Clemson did not look good. I went out for lunch with my mom for her birthday.
Nice. We had a fantasy football draft.
I did three fantasy football drafts within like the last like week.
I did three fantasy football drafts in 24 hours.
Yep. Ours, though, the one we were in?
So fast.
30 minutes.
Yep.
I was playing NCAA while I was doing it. I couldn't have been happier.
It was an 8-man league, and we got through it in 30 minutes. I was terrified because I was on my way home from Stony Brook.
I was not, 5 minutes before the draft started.
I will clarify. I was not driving. I was in the back seat doing my draft, and it was very spotty. I got 4 auto draft picks. 4 guys that I wanted, just not in the spots that I wanted them.
Mm-hmm.
But they're on the team nonetheless. Doesn't matter matter where you draft them. As long as you get them on the team, that's what matters.
Welcome to the team, and that is all that matters. But yes, it was a wonderful weekend for many of you as well. It is elite season. It is autumn, not fall. It is autumn.
It's fall.
It's not fall. It's
what is autumn. The difference?
Autumn, it is still somewhat warm. I can still wear shorts. By fall, we're wearing jeans and hoodies.
That's in October. No one I've ever met has called it autumn.
I hold off as long as I can before I get to the cold season. So I'm like, this is autumn. It's really nice.
That's
what September is. September is autumn. Fall is October, November. depending on where you live, because for us, like, winter starts in November.
Exactly. So this is fall.
No, fall is October.
We don't have the luxury of having these little subsections of seasons.
That's exactly what we have.
No, we don't.
Florida doesn't. Florida's like, we have hurricane season and then slightly less warm summer.
And
that's
then
what they have.
Fall.
No, they don't even have that. They have slightly less warm summer.
No.
That's
no,
what they have.
We don't have the luxury of this little subsection of autumn.
That's exactly what we have.
What do you do when you go from winter to spring? Winter,
wet
spring.
Wet season.
There's nothing in between.
Wet season.
Because it's Buffalo. You go from winter to spring in approximately 30 seconds.
No, there's a nice middle period where it's just wet season.
No.
Where if you have a birthday in there, you've never experienced a nice outside birthday.
And you said it was nice. And we both have that issue of having April birthdays
and it's wet
in
season.
This awful season.
But I don't want to hear it from you guys.
Is like April, May-ish.
Because yours truly has a birthday in early November. So you're in that period.
That's the start of Buffalo winter.
Yeah. Well, no. Zach, what happened when
the first snow has happened on my birthday.
What happened when we were six?
That was a major event.
It was a major event, and we have one of those every 2 years.
That is not true.
You know what happened? You know what happened when we were six? In 2006, it was the October storm. The surprise October storm that we've had six times since then.
There was a key word in there.
Surprise. Yeah, but you know what's happened since then? Six times? More October storms.
Six times? October storm. No. That's the beauty of living in Buffalo. You get to experience the seasons, including their little subsections.
There are no
like
subsections.
Like wet season and autumn.
And you don't get the luxury of calling it autumn. It's just early snow.
Autumn sounds way better than fall. who came up with fall, by the way? That sounds
because
depressing.
The leaves fall.
Yeah, that's horrible. That is awful.
It is simple and perfect.
There's like three art students that are like, it's so nice and pretty. I'm like, that tree died.
I love
it's fall. Awful.
What are you talking about?
Awful.
The leaves coming off the trees are the best part of fall.
It looks
great.
It looks nice until you're thinking about it.
You just don't think about it.
Just don't think about it. Speaking of not thinking about it, we got to get to some football here. I have not thought about the Bills all weekend. And a part of me is like, this is good. I'm watching college football. Texas, you know, had a good game against Colorado State. UB beat Lafayette. So, like, they've kind of got, like, this nice groove going. They play in Missouri this weekend, so that won't go well. But it was only until, like, last night when I wasn't really watching the Florida State game and, you know, I'm kind of getting ready for today that I'm like, all right. Like, I mean, we've talked about this for 7-8 months, but here we go. Like, now it's here. And that's sort of why I want to do predictions today, is just because this is sort of the last time, but also we've all talked about it so much. We've all put a lot of thought into this that why not throw out some predictions? So for me, at least, I think a lot of people know where this is going. For me personally, and just in terms of the Bills predictions, I am very bullish on Khalil Shakir. I don't think that's a surprising statement from anybody. But I have gotten to that point over the offseason of I do believe he is a 90 catch guy just due to how well he was at the end of last year and the fact that they have lost Stephon Diggs and Gabe Davis. They have a desperate need for someone to be both a safety valve for Josh Allen, but also just a guy that he can trust that when he needs to make a big play, he throws to Shakir or he throws to somebody. And I think it's going to be Shakir. We've already seen spots throughout Shakir's 2 years in the NFL that Allen trusts him, that he can make big plays. His usage, though, has not been very high. I mean, we've talked about it, Josh, in his stats from last year, where in the first six games, he had five targets. None in game one, and then one for the next five in each game. And then it sort of progressed. Okay, now we're getting to go, I think, as well. While I do think they'll run the ball more than maybe in years past, I think they ran the ball as much as they did last year out of necessity. I don't think that is indicative of what Joe Brady or Sean McDermott wants to do. I think that's just kind of what they had to do to not have a lost season. They really missed the mark on some of their free agent wide, not some, all of their free agent wide receiver acquisitions last season.
I think this is also such a drastically different team that it's so hard to tell what they're going to do this season, because think about it. There's 150 targets.
Mm-hmm.
Or is it catches? I can never remember.
I think it's catches.
I know the number's 150. And I think it's catches. That makes more sense. But it's 150 catches that are going to be dispersed from two players that are now gone.
Mm-hmm.
And those two being Gabe Davis and Stephon Diggs. And I have to think that the lion's share of those will be going to Khalil Shakir and Dalton Kincaid. I think if you wanted to break it down percentage-wise or something like that, if you look at Kincaid and Shakir, I think the two of them will get 60%, if not more, of those 150 catches. And I think that's lowballing it. Because you have to already think of what they get and what they got last year, especially in Kincaid's side of things here, because Kincaid was not used nearly as much as Shakir towards the end of the season. I mean, Kincaid had his moments for sure.
But Kincaid ultimately had 73 catches.
Right, but that should go up by 30?
I always get nervous about like doing that because I do think the Bills want to go down the road of everyone eats. Mm-hmm. I think eventually someone, it could be Shakir, it absolutely could be Kincaid, that eventually just
pops off.
All right, they're the guy.
They're clearly they're getting targeted
more than everyone else. But, I mean, him already having 73 last year, I think a lot of that also came from the fact that Dawson Knox was not on the field.
Yeah,
he was both injured and stuff like that.
I wonder how much that actually played into it because the way they've always talked about Kincaid is he's a receiver. Think of him as a receiver. Mm-hmm. And they've never talked about Dawson Knox that way.
No.
He's never been that type of player. So I think regardless of that injury, I think that progression from Kincaid is what we would have saw because of the injuries, because of the necessity of, hey, nothing else is working. We need to find something new. I think that when you look at this offense, a lot of it is hope from our end. A lot 100%. Of it is hope that 100%. This is what's going to happen.
Because it is just so unknown.
Right. But the majority is hope. But the other part of it is just basic math. I mean, they're not going to throw the ball a lot less, I don't think. I think they're going to throw the ball less for sure, but it's not going to be this astronomical difference.
Yeah, last year, Allen threw the ball 579 times.
Maybe 550 this year.
I
don't know.
I'm up and down. I'm somebody that thinks he could have 600 passing attempts.
Really?
Because they are going to use the short passing game more. It
is not going to
be the long ball, which we saw a lot under Ken Dorsey before, obviously, he was fired.
I just think, I don't even think it's going to be a massive difference down. I just think it might. You might see that run game a little bit more early on in the season. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, as they're sort of trying to get everything together.
Yeah, as you're, because that's something else that I've thought of this whole offseason is this team is not going to be, and a lot of people have talked about it too, like, you know, the big names in ESPN and whatnot, of this offense might not look great right away. But by week 7, week 8, it should be humming along. Like
I think Mina Kimes of ESPN was really big on this.
And I think at this early point in the season, when you don't, when you're not, you know, humming along as that well-oiled machine, through weeks 1 through 5, let's say, I think your crutch kind of is, hey, James Cook can run the ball. Ray Davis can pound through that offensive line when you're in the red zone and have nothing else working and get you into the end zone. And, hey, Josh Allen still has his legs too, so there's always that. So
yeah, I mean, a big part of that is Josh Allen is your quarterback.
Yeah.
You know, Patrick Mahomes is able to make it work with, like, a wide receiver room that was actively harmful to the offense.
Right.
You know,
Kadarius Toney's not there anymore, though, sadly.
He's on the practice squad, right?
Well,
is he?
Oh, I think so.
Or is it just Justin Ross? I know they brought one of them back. Oh, he maybe not.
I don't think so.
I don't think he is, actually. No, that's probably wrong on me. But I look at this team, though, and even last year, and this is why I do talk about it, I think they went to the run game so much, and we've mentioned the free agent acquisitions they made. Deonte Hardy had 21 targets. Sherfield had 22. Hardy had 15 catches to Sherfield's 11. They were complete and utter non-factors on the team, and that was your wide receiver 3 and 4. And so that's where, for me, it's like I don't love what they've done. And a lot of it for me is I wish they would have drafted young guys in the last 2 years in rounds 3 through 5. And so, not Justin Shorter, who I think they drafted more to be a special teams guy and not ever a wide receiver. Look what the Raiders did. The moment he was cut from the Bills, he was picked up by the Raiders on their practice squad, and they changed his position to tight end.
Which I think is super interesting. I'm kind of curious.
I think that is a desperation pull, not by the Raiders, by Shorter.
I wonder, though. I mean, he is a bigger guy, and in the situation the Raiders are in, they kind of need
You can argue they kind of need somebody. So, they already have two great tight ends, though. Potentially.
Oh, right. Brock Bowers. I forgot about
potentially.
Him.
Yeah. But so, like, real where, quick,
on the,
you know.
On the Kadarius Toney thing, I don't think he's on their practice squad. I can't find that. But all of the headlines that I'm reading are from, like, a few days ago, two, three, 4 days ago. The Chiefs GM, Brett Veach, says, quote, "I would do it all over again" when talking about the Toney trade.
See, now that makes zero sense.
What is that?
That
is a massive question.
Zero sense.
I know this is really off base. It's just, why would you ever want to make that trade again?
I just...
What did he do for them? He made maybe one big catch.
I just wish the Eagles and the 49ers could have finished the job so that we could talk about the Chiefs, honestly.
Yes.
I'm not saying they've lucked into two Super Bowls. That is incorrect. They've had an amazing defense. Mm-hmm. Patrick Mahomes is incredible. Travis Kelce might be the best pass-catching tight end of all time.
Last year, I'm not saying... Like you said, you're not saying they lucked into a Super Bowl, but it was a very lucky year.
Their inability to scout or really even develop the wide receiver position through this era with Patrick Mahomes is astounding. It is stunning how bad they are at that position.
Right. Like
with Andy Reid at head coach and Patrick Mahomes at quarterback, they cannot add somebody. That's why I got so frustrated on draft weekend when everyone was freaking about Worthy. And I'm like, guys, look at what Brett Veach has done.
Look at their track record. Yeah.
Their track record tells you, actually, if they like a receiver, you maybe shouldn't.
Well, and it's funny, too, because that's probably, at this point, one of the only things the Bills have on the Chiefs is the ability to draft well and find these hidden talents.
Well, and that's the one thing that I think the Chiefs actually do better than the Bills significantly is where the Bills get gems that are like that's a solid starter. The gems the Chiefs find are superstars.
That's, well...
Like, you know, like but, Rasul Douglas is a nice find that you get him in a trade.
No, but I'm
Trent McDuffie's like one of the best young cornerbacks in football.
Right, but you have to think of where the Chiefs were in that position to take him. They were in a spot in that draft where... He was a first-round pick,
yeah, it was
right?
late first-round.
Yeah, so...
I mean, it's before the Bills pick, but yeah, it's late first-round.
Was it before the...
They traded up, yeah.
Oh, okay.
But right. that's my thing.
Well, okay, that's a little different. I thought that was one of their, you know, the second Bills, to last pick of
the first
Bills
round. Are very good to, like, get solid guys that can just find spots on a roster. And
I'm looking more at the late round stuff. You know, Matt Milano being a fifth round pick. Taron Johnson being sixth.
I think a fifth or sixth round pick. Yeah.
Like, names like that are consistent key contributing members of the team that are even borderline... You know, great player like Taron Johnson, probably one of the most overlooked Bills players.
I saw Jody Biasi tweet about it too.
Yeah, Jeremy and Joe were talking about that earlier. He's one of the best players on the team, but you kind of forget about him sometimes.
You forget about him because he's good at his job.
Right, exactly. For a cornerback, you don't want to think about them.
Mm-hmm.
But my point there is I just think that when you look at the history of these drafts for these teams over the past few years. Yeah, the Chiefs have their guys, but look at all the guys they've missed on.
Well, and all of that. That's why
compared to the Bills.
That's why I am curious to see what they look like post Travis Kelce.
Yeah.
That's why I was so interested in them when before obviously the playoffs when Kelce was not playing well, and it looked like oh, Father Time has come home kind of deal.
I did three fantasy drafts in 24 hours.
Yeah,
and I saw one of my friends draft him. Very
like the second round,
yeah, and I was like, oof.
But like, yeah, so like you're still thinking about it. Cause you're like, I mean, turned on the playoffs, but like the regular season was a slog. I mean, not good.
I had him last year, and it was bad. Watching
and so
that.
Like, that's my thing is I'm fascinated in them. Where I think for the Bills, for me, this season is both stay competitive, but also I want to see what these young guys look like. I want to see, hey, do you really have something here in Khalil Shakir, Dalton Kincaid, you know, eventually Cole Bishop, Greg Rousseau, Terrell Bernard, Dorian Williams, Osiris Torrance. Like, is this like your next crop? Because ultimately, they're setting themselves up to have more cap space next year. They did a move just to free up cap space this year so they can make moves at all. They've got a lot more draft picks. They're going to have two twos next year, two fours, one and a three as well. So those are roster players on almost any team with those draft picks. They're setting themselves up for the next core. I do not subscribe to the feeling of they're wasting Josh Allen. We've seen since Patrick Mahomes and Josh Allen went to the league, you know, one year after the other, three quarterbacks and one Super Bowls. Tom Brady, Patrick Mahomes, and one year with Matthew Stafford. I mean, that's all that's won. Joe Burrow has made one.
At this point, good for Matthew Stafford.
No, it's honestly
good for
like,
him.
That Super Bowl, I remember that was the one positive
squeak,
I could take
to
from it.
To squeak out a Super Bowl in this crazy window that we're seeing from Mahomes and other great quarterbacks, good for Matthew Stafford. I'm happy.
I remember feeling good about that one, like even after 21 or after 13 seconds of like, man, like Stafford has like, I mean, he was him and Calvin Johnson were the only thing relevant for the Detroit Lions for years.
He was battered and injured and then first year
with LA.
Yeah. Right.
They go on a great playoff run and he gets it. Aaron Donald got his as well. And you're like,
even Von Miller got his moment. I mean, sure, Von Miller already had his moment, but it was.
I actually did really like seeing the Rams win one. Sean McVay as well. For being an LA team, I was like, I like that. I'm with it. But so, like, that's all the teams that have won. Like, the Eagles have made it to a Super Bowl, yes. San Francisco's made it to two in this era, yes.
Mm. Yeah.
But, like, Baltimore's had the two seed, or has had the one seed twice with Lamar's two Super Bowls. They have a single playoff win in those 2 years. You know, he's never made it to a Super Bowl. Burrow has made it to one, but I think there are honest questions about his ability to stay healthy. I think there's also honest questions about the ownership's willingness to keep a competitive team on the field. We'll see if Ja'Marr Chase plays.
I hope he does.
I mean, like that's...
Because, I'm looking at this... I'm sorry. Fantasy's on the brain because it was a lot. Drafted him 7th overall the other day, and then I was like, oh, wait a minute.
Like, they have the Patriots week one.
He's holding out, so or holding in, kind of.
Yeah, but if he misses games, he's fully holding out. I mean, he's right there, sure. But
no, on the Joe Burrow point, though, I don't think it's necessarily injuries, like if he's injury prone, I think it's more so, can he come back from this wrist thing?
Yeah.
It doesn't look like it's hampering his throwing motion that much.
See, for me, though, it's just he has missed time in like almost every season, except I think one. His rookie year gets cut short. Second year is where you see the pop off. They go to the Super Bowl. And I think he's missed time in the last 2 years. And so, like, that's where I get nervous with him. Lawrence has never really developed into the guy. I mean, he's good. Jacksonville's kind of a tire fire.
His first year, he started 10 games, played in 10 games. And
then gets hurt. Yep.
Gets hurt. Second year, plays all 16, starts all 16.
Go to the Super Bowl.
2022, starts all 16, plays all 16.
Did he? Okay.
Yep. And then last year played 10, missed 10.
Okay.
Or played 10, missed 7.
Yep. But on Houston Texans, I've heard a lot of people say this, too, of just, like, are we kind of putting the cart before the horse with them? Mm-hmm. Are they really that talented? Their offensive line was shaky at best last year at times. You know, C.J. Stroud, I've seen this stat all over where it's like he had like, you know, the quote-unquote stat of the most interceptable passes or turnover passes, what have you. He was up there with Mahomes and Allen. The problem was Mahomes and Allen had 15 and 18. Stroud had 5 or whatever it was. And it's like, you know, that number's likely going to go up. They didn't have a very difficult schedule last year, and they still only went like 10-7. You know, their defense is kind of stayed the same. They rotated out one great pass rusher for another, so it's not like they added that. Stephon Diggs, I think a lot of us are, you know, Bills fans here are going like, he's probably their wide receiver 3. It's kind of everything I've heard as well. I think their offense will be good, but now that they've got the number one schedule in their division and all that, like, are they going to be awesome? Maybe. But also maybe not. They've got a tough road ahead. And so I think that's my thing is like as the season has gotten closer, I'm nervous for the Bills because of all the unknowns. I've heard Sal Capaccio talk about it too, of like even watching practice, you're kind of like, I don't know. I mean, like, we'll see what happens this year. Like it's a lot of new guys.
But there's a lot of question marks around just the AFC.
Oh, in general.
As a whole.
Even
the AFC East. There's still lots of question marks. Yes, Tua got his big contract, but
I think we all
kind of
know what the Dolphins are.
Right. And that is a big offensive play every once in a while. And if their defense can stay healthy, then they're good. But if not, then what are you going to do?
I think as well, they're a team that just, you know, they're probably going to start out hot. I like that, though, that the Bills are getting on week 2 at night. I kind of like that. Again, the Dolphins do not handle the Bills well at all. They've never been able to
figure
out
Josh Allen.
They
played them early last year, and they took care of him, no problem.
Yep. And that was after the 70-point game they had against Denver.
That was... Yeah.
And so you get that early. The Patriots, I think, are not tanking, but like they're in full rebuild.
You can tell what the Patriots are.
They're in full rebuild.
There's no question marks around the Patriots because you know that they're rebuilding.
And the Jets, I think, are a massive question mark. Hassan Reddick is still fully holding out. He is the last player left because Trent Williams appears to have gotten his deal with San Francisco today. And so, you know, there's that whole thing, and they feel like a house of cards that if it starts out poorly, that could be a disaster. And they get San Francisco in California for week 1. I think that's Monday Night Football or Sunday Night Football. And so, I mean, that's right away you get one of the better teams in the NFL.
It is Monday Night Football.
Yeah. But you right away get one of the better teams in the NFL. And again, like, I mean, if they start out 0-1 and it's just not a good showing, like San Francisco beats you up, like they can. They are up and down. And again, for the Bills, it seems like the vibes are really good in that locker room. I've heard people bring up, you know, now Diggs is out, potentially, you know, does that free up Allen to, like, I don't have to make anyone happy. I can just find the open guy. Like, you know, all of these guys are going to be solid. That's something that I've talked about in terms of, you know, building an NFL offense. I think that's the way to go. I just wish they didn't have to go to guys like Mac Hollins and Curtis Samuel. I wish that they had drafted their young guys to go along with Khalil Shakir and Dalton Kincaid, Keon Coleman, and have, like, another young guy in there that's like, ooh, he's been building through our system, sort of like a Romeo Doubs, who's a fourth-round pick. Dontavian Wicks is a fifth-round pick. Jaden Reed, a third-round pick. You know, it's not like they went in the first round for these guys, but they drafted them, and they drafted them with very specific skill sets. So it's going to be a fascinating year. It's a year, though, where I think maybe my biggest prediction, and, you know, where we're starting this, and we got to take a quick time out here in just a second, but I think my big question or my big prediction here is I think Khalil Shakir is going to emerge as their number one weapon, as an elite slot receiver that Josh Allen, going more to the short game, is going to take advantage of. I've mentioned it. I think they're going to go to the short game more, which could lead to more passes. I see him, I mean, and this is going to be a huge jump up. He had 39 catches last year, 45 targets. I could see him being a 90 catch guy and over 1,000 yards and into like the 7 to 10 touchdown range. I've become so bullish on him. And in really the one game we got to see him with Josh Allen in the preseason, he had 3 catches, 3 targets. And it was just boom, boom, boom. You knew what he was going to do. He has that a little bit more of an explosive speed that Cole Beasley didn't. He's a little bit taller than Cole Beasley. And you saw what Allen was able to do with Beasley. And now he's later in his career. He's more mature into his career. And you add a more physically, athletically imposing receiver. I get it. A lot of the stats don't necessarily point to that's what he's going to be. I just, with all the unknowns, and Josh, you brought up 150 catches, 240 targets out the door, someone's going to have to take up a lion's share. I actually think it's going to be Shakir over Kincaid, but just barely. I still think Kincaid's going to have a great year, but I look at Shakir as just, I think he's something special for these guys. And I felt that way since the draft. I mean, Derek's brought it up that I've kind of been the president of the Shakir Hive. Since he came out of Boise State, I saw him as maybe more of a diet Deebo Samuel, like they could use him on the outside more. But I think that's going to be a big part of it as well. He's a versatile guy that I'm excited to see a full season of. Like, he had a good preseason, he had a good camp. They have a need, and he showed out at the end of last year. And now it feels like it's all coming up, you know, the stream where it's going to be Shakir, and I think it's going to start week one. I'm so, so excited. 803-0550 is the number to call. What are your predictions as we are under a week away from the start of the Bills season as they will host the Arizona Cardinals Monday on Sunday, again at Highmark Stadium? Very, very excited. We'll get Josh's predictions here on the other side. We'll also get yours as well after a quick timeout. You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show, and this is
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Hey, fantasy football owners, I'm Matt Harmon.
And what's cracking up, James Coe? Join us on Reception Perception as we dive deep into wide receivers, the position that will make or break your fantasy team.
Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
UGR.
I already told Poe, bro. You might as well get away from me, bro.
Yeah.
And all love. Like, I would be so happy to compete against Poe, because that's my bro. And I would want Poe to punch me in my chin, because I respect him that much. But I want Poe to understand that we coming for that chin too, respectfully. It's all passion and all love. I done seen you multiple times come down in that box, taking dude, you come on my side, Poe. I'ma knock your head off, bro. And that's just snow.
It was Bills left tackle Deion Dawkins. I
love him
that yet.
So much.
He's
national treasure, Deion Dawkins.
I say this almost every time we play a clip of his, but he's one of my favorite Bills players to like listen to, to just hear stuff back. He's talking there about Jordan Poyer, who's now in the Miami Dolphins. I'm a big fan too of like talking trash, but then be like, but respectfully.
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 That's the key word.
It's my favorite.
It's so, and honestly, it's going to be really interesting to see how that kind of reunion is going to be.
I think it'll be fine.
I think, well, no, but I don't think it's going to be bad. But just because I think it's interesting that the Bills are going to be in Miami first.
Oh, yeah.
Whereas if it was Poyer comes here first, I think it'd be a little different.
Oh, if it was like,
if the Bills hosted the Dolphins
in
first,
Buffalo.
Yeah, instead of...
Does he get a cheer from the crowd, or does he get booed?
I wonder.
I think it's tough because he is on the Dolphins.
And I think it's also tough because
it's going to be a mix. It would be a mix, I think.
I mean, you remember earlier in the offseason, the clip of him being like, oh, I'm home, or something like that.
Oh,
like,
yeah, yeah, that did happen. Okay, yeah.
That's...
I think it's a mix, though. Him and Hyde have been some of the two stalwarts of this era. They've been two of the more beloved players. Mm-hmm. I would probably say Micah Hyde more, I would say.
I think so,
especially
too.
With the charity and softball game and stuff like that. And he's been adamant this offseason, too, of like, if it's literally anybody I come play for, it is Buffalo, or I'm done, or I've retired.
I think what's also, I mean, in their times here, I think you're still right, but it's closer. But now, given the way that both of them departed, I think it's way more
it's Hyde.
Hyde than Poyer, just because of Poyer went to a division rival, mm-hmm. and then he's had all these videos in the offseason talking about how excited he is to be there, and it's like, eh.
Man, all the reunions. Well, the Gabe Davis, Mitch Morse one's going to be at home.
Mm-hmm.
That's Monday night in Buffalo against Jacksonville week 3. So that's good. All right, that one's at home. But, you know, Stephon Diggs in Houston.
Yeah,
first,
some of, the,
first
some
one
of these
for Poyer in Miami.
Some of these reunions aren't going to happen for a couple of years, if at all.
Which ones?
In terms of coming to Buffalo.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Like, Diggs won't be here this year unless there's a playoff game in Buffalo against Houston.
Yeah.
Which there very well could be.
And we'll see how much longer his career is going to last.
Right. And he might not even be in Houston if he comes here next year.
Well, this is maybe bad of me. I keep thinking after this year he's just going to be a Dallas Cowboy.
Mm. That's what I was thinking, too. He's just going to go play with his brother and then finish his career.
Yeah.
Trey White won't be here this year.
Nope, he's on the Rams. That's right. That's right.
Bills are at the Rams
mm-hmm.
in week 14.
Week 14. I forgot about the Rams, yeah.
Yeah. Who else is there? I think that's it, pretty much.
Well, yeah, because Morris and Davis are both on Jacksonville.
They're on Jacksonville, and that is week three.
Yep.
That's the Monday night game.
Yeah.
Interesting. Who else is there? I feel like we're forgetting somebody. There was a lot of names. So
there was, but I mean, those are the big ones.
Yeah.
Those are the big ones.
Yeah.
There are a few, of course, that have departed, but those are really the big ones. And yeah, you kind of get all the reunions. But
Leonard
you get,
Floyd, San Francisco.
That does not count.
Come on. I don't know. He had a really good year last year.
Did he? He was barely here. He was
For the first half of the season, he was here.
Sure.
Not the second half, but what are you going to do? Still a reunion of sorts.
So we were talking in the break. We're doing predictions today. 803-0550 is the number to call. Zach Jones, Josh Schmidt here in
Say
the Northtown
Automotive
about
Next me.
Point Show. Yeah, you won't do predictions.
I
for
won't
the Bills.
Do Bills predictions. You
such,
have known this.
Such a cowardly
You've known
move.
This ever since you met me. I don't predict any of my team's scores. The last time I predicted...
I'm not asking you to predict a score.
Yeah, but I'm still predicting...
But what do you feel most confident in the Bills this year? Mine's Shakir. I've been on that since like
Yeah, but that's
May.
Different. That's different. Talking about players and being confident in players is different than predicting what they will do.
Well, there you go. Who are you confident in this
I'm
year?
I'm confident in Shakir. I'm obviously confident in Allen.
Yep.
I'm really confident in Rasul Douglas.
Oh, because you watched or you read the Tyler Dunn article this morning, right?
Yeah, he had basically I'm paraphrasing this quote, summarizing it here for you. But so Tyler Dunn put out this article. And a big focus of it is Rasul Douglas. And again, paraphrasing here, Douglas said that if he was healthy, the Bills would have won their game against the Chiefs last year in the playoffs.
And he was pretty
was
mad
like,
about it.
He was basically saying, I'm the reason we lost.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, whoa.
Yeah,
he's
pretty upset about it.
I didn't even think that you were a problem in that game. Like you did great and you just got
you
hurt.
You were on the field, man.
Yeah,
like everyone
you
else
were there.
Everyone
were,
else was hurt.
You could at least play. And I think just that mindset coming from him in year one and a half, if you want to call it that, because he wasn't even on the Bills for a whole season last year.
Year one and a half, yeah.
So if you're looking at it like that, I think Douglas, I mean, that mindset for Rasul Douglas to have is incredible.
I do like the secondary. And now they're starting to get healthier. Cole Bishop's practicing. I think Mike Edwards is like fully practicing.
Yeah, Mike Edwards sounds
He started that last week, right, where he was like, I'm going to play, I'm fine.
Well, 2 weeks ago, he was like, yeah, if they need me for week one, I'll be good. And then last week, it was, yep, I'm good.
Yep, he's not even in a non-contact jersey or anything like that.
We're finally going to get some injury reports this week.
I have
missed the Bills PR injury report graphics so much.
Have you?
I have.
I always get very stressed out about it.
But I like just seeing what's going on.
It gives you something to talk about.
The information that you get from that is like, all right, fine, there, we have...
Oh, there's no longer doing a guessing game where are they actually at and stuff like that. That's fair.
But, yeah, if you're okay, going back to the whole confidence thing, with Rasul Douglas, I just think being the veteran that he is, coming into, again, like year one and a half, if you want to call it that, with a younger secondary around him.
He's kind of got to be the elder statesman.
Yeah, kind of the leader. And Jeremy and Joe were talking about captains earlier this morning. I think he could be one of the captains.
So, yeah, I was going to say, the Bills have not released their captains yet, have they?
No, and, I mean... I think we should probably see them sometime
relatively
this week.
Soonish.
Right.
Relatively soon.
I think he should be on the list. Just because one of that quote that I paraphrased there of, yeah, if I was playing, we would have won the game against the Chiefs. Him saying that. If I was healthy, right. Because he was playing, but he just wasn't 100%.
Yep.
And he still had a great game. But I think that mentality and mindset should be what you want out of a captain, especially now that you're missing a lot of your leaders that have been here for years.
Yeah.
So, and you lost two big leaders in the secondary. If you can gain one back right there, that's a big win.
You lost three leaders. Because Trey, even with all the injuries, he's been in that room. I mean, he's been around the building.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's...
But that's three cap... They were all three captains, right?
Really? I think so.
I mean, I know Hyde was.
I think Poyer was as well. That's three captains.
We're not sure about Trey.
No, Trey definitely was.
Yeah?
Yeah, that's three captains. Wow. Or at least in some years, that is at least three captains.
Right. Maybe not every year, but most years.
By the way, Tyler Dunn, you can find his pieces over at golongtd.com. Big friend of the station and does wonderful work over there. I am going to have to check out the Rasul Douglas piece now because I always think about the linebackers in that game. I haven't necessarily rewatched it, but I always think about the lack of linebackers and how much that hurt them. But for Rasul Douglas to be like, nah. If I was healthy, we're talking about a way different outcome. It's like, all right, man, all right. And that's the thing, too, is for this year at least. So you're kind of throwing your hat in there for Rasul Douglas.
Yeah.
He's going to have a big year.
Yeah, I think so. I think that, like I said, that secondary needs a leader. And Kyrie Elam and
Christian Benford
can obviously have big years as well. But... For those guys, well, more for Elam, it'd be more of a breakout season than a big year.
Mm-hmm.
But for Douglas, I think it's just more of a higher chance.
I'd love if they could get something out of Elam, though.
Yeah, I think they will.
Especially what last year was. If they can get anything out of him, I'd be thrilled.
I think they will. I just don't think it's going to be what we ever expected.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you're going to get something out of him, but it's not going to be, it might not be first round caliber season.
Yep. We do have some hockey news as well I want to pass along here. The Oilers have signed forward Leon Draisaitl to an 8-year contract extension that begins in 2025-26, and the average annual value is $14 million. Arguably one of, if not, top five players in the league.
Wait a second.
Gets a
Is he getting paid more than McDavid? Extension.
Is he?
Oh, I can't look at cap friendly.
Sorry. Forgot that's gone.
Thanks, Washington. Gotta love it. All right.
Puckpedia.
What do you got for me? I haven't really used this site all that much because I miss Cap Friendly so much. Let's see. That's crazy. $14 million.
Connor McDavid's annual value is 12.5. So, yes, he is being now paid more than Connor McDavid.
Wow. I mean, to be fair.
It's not like, you know, Draisaitl's like,
right.
Really, we're going to...
No.
He is also going to be one of the best players of his generation.
Yeah, but it's also, you know, McDavid got that contract how many years ago?
It's been a while.
and he comes up in 2 years now, by the way.
Mm-hmm. Really? Wow. Okay, so he's going to make like $17 million a year.
Oh, yeah. He's got this season and next season on 12 and a half.
Yeah, he's going to have a nice payday after that.
It's going to be interesting to see how they work that out. Maybe Maybe they won't have the money to pay him.
We also are going to have some, like, but on the hockey stuff, you know, Sabres start here pretty soon. Yeah. I mean, in like a week or so, we're going to have the
rookies kind of start to show
up. But the tournament as well.
Prospect Challenge.
Prospect Challenge. Thank you. That's coming up next week or the week after.
Yeah, and it's. Is it next week?
I think it's next week.
Yeah, but I think it's the Sabres, the Bruins, the Devils.
I think the Penguins as well.
Penguins.
It's
Senators
this area.
Too, I think.
Oh, yeah.
Which is new this year. They weren't here last year.
That's coming up next week. And then, I mean, quote unquote, preseason and training camp starts. But, I mean, that's a blink of an eye. And you're all of a sudden at your first game.
Yeah, it's not at all like the whole NFL.
Oh, my goodness. Which
training
takes forever.
Camp. So, Sabres Prospect Challenge. Sabres, Bruins, Blue Jackets, Devils, Senators, Penguins. So, six teams. That starts September 13th. 10 days. Wow.
There you go.
That kind of snuck up on us here.
Just a little bit. 803-0550 is the number to call. Looking for your predictions on this NFL season with games starting on Thursday. And we also have a game on Friday. And we got ESPN here as well here in the studio. And it's always like a little subtle reminder that the Green Bay Packers and the Philadelphia Eagles will be playing in Sao Paulo, Brazil
on
Friday.
Two teams that wear primarily green are playing in a stadium where it's banned to wear the color green.
I think it's like one of those like you shouldn't do it.
I think it's bad luck. That's what I heard.
It's bad luck. But every team that ever plays there, even the ones in the World Cup.
It's awesome.
Nigeria made a jersey change. Like last second when they played there in 2014 to not wear green because one of Nigeria's primary colors in their flag is green.
Oh, it's green, yeah.
And they wore, I think, all white jerseys with a altered white and black logo and then I think black shorts and some other color socks. I'm not sure. But they didn't wear any green. And yes, the Eagles and the Packers apparently reportedly will not be primarily colored green.
Ah, it is because of a rival. The color is banned because of its rival with Brazilian soccer club Palmeiras. But for special events like the Eagles-Packers game, the color is allowed.
Stop. That's soft. Didn't I hear
the Eagles go to a... They're wearing their black alternates.
Yeah.
I thought it was white with black helmets.
No, it's the black pants. So they're taking as much of the green off as they can.
Yeah, because the numbers are still green.
Yeah, they're taking as much of the green off as possible.
Coward move. Make them wear not green. If you're gonna,
they've got the blue and yellow like from like the '20s.
Yes, wear the blue and yellow throwbacks. And I don't know what you do for the Packers because
they've got a throwback from the '20s.
No, the Packers have always worn green.
Oh, I also think they have a blue and yellow.
No, they don't.
I gotta look this up. We gotta hit a quick timeout. 803-0550 is the number to call. We'll look for your calls after a quick timeout. Zach Jones and Josh Mint here in the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show, and this is WGR. Welcome back, everyone. Zach Jones and Josh Schmidt here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. And coming up later this week, join WGR Sal Capaccio as he does the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show live from Northtown Kia, 3900 Sheridan Drive in Amherst, Thursday, September 5th from 10 a.m. to 12 p.m. Stop by, say hi, grab a Paula's Donut while supplies last. Score some awesome WGR 550 swag and enter to win Buffalo Bills merchandise courtesy of Northtown. No purchase necessary. Northtown Automotive, the official automotive dealer of the Buffalo Bills. See you September 5th at Northtown Kia. And let's go to the phones here as we've got Steve on the line. Steve, good morning, my friend. How are we doing today?
Doing good. Forecast is going to be a division sweep this year, and I think that's good enough to at least lock down the 3 seed.
I feel like that might do better, though, Steve. I mean, it's 6 games. You got to imagine that. I'm assuming you think they can probably beat a Jacksonville, an Arizona, Houston, right? Are we thinking that?
I guess with this team, what I believe is that there's always going to be one or two Billsy losses,
it's fair.
Regardless of, you know, how great we think they are. It just seemed like their totality that we've seen with Allen, they tend to drop one or two games against somebody they shouldn't, which is why they won't be the one or the two seed.
What are you thinking the Billsy losses are going to be this year? Because I always like looking at the schedule
and finding
and trying to find it. Because I mean, I'm looking at Tennessee right now, and I'm not feeling great about it.
Yeah, I mean, I'm high on Tennessee for actually winning that division.
Yes, there we go.
Just because I think Houston's solid as well, but I wouldn't be surprised if they dropped one.
Houston, I feel like, wouldn't be too much of a Billsy loss. I feel like they're a good team. or at least an up and coming team, right? I mean,
well, I mean, but it, I would say maybe it's like, it's not that they're losing to a bad team, but they lose in a Billsy way, or maybe, you know what I mean? It's like, hey, we got that. And it's like, oh,
the game went to overtime and we lost.
Right. And it's like, oh, great. Another 0-7 in overtime appearances for Josh Allen. He just can't get it done when the pressure's on.
That is right. Steve, thanks for the call, man. Oh, man. That is a stat that every time they go to overtime, that's been a thing, too. There are a few overtime games that, and this is why I have a tough time, too, even with, like, the Chiefs 13 seconds game. The longer we get away from it, the less I feel good about, like, anything positive happening there. The Bills obviously don't get the ball, and then the rule changes, but even in the regular season, you know, there's a little bit. This follows with the Bills as well. There have been times when Allen gets the ball in overtime and they just don't score. It's all of a sudden a three and out or what have you, and it doesn't go well.
The Jets game.
Jets game. The Tampa Bay game back in 21.
Yep.
And so, like, that has, like, been something that, like, gnaws the back of my mind. Like, so, like, Steve's kind of making a point of, like, I still can't get it done in the big moments, which, like, is untrue. But in overtime, I'm like, there are moments he has not been able to get it done.
You know what? You wanted a prediction out of me. My closest prediction to a record prediction will be that the Bills, Josh Allen, will break his overtime streak this year.
He wins an overtime game.
At some point. I will not say when. I will not say against who. That's my only prediction that I will come close to. That's the closest you'll get to me saying wins and losses.
By the way, in terms of the Billsy loss, I'm just going to say now it's going to be Jacksonville. They have never, in their history, played a good game against the Jacksonville Jaguars. And it will never happen until the day I die.
9-3, 9-6, what was it?
Oh, it was 10-3. You're talking the playoff game?
No, the Urban Meyer game.
I think 9-3.
I think it was 9-3.
It was still
not
good.
Or 9-6. It was something like that.
Oh, man. Just, again, they've never played a good game against the Jacksonville Jaguars in their life.
Allen threw for 264 yards.
Oh my goodness! That's so
and they lost 9-6.
You've also had, I think, Jim Kelly's final game is against the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Oh wow!
Not good.
You're going way back.
Yeah, they've never played the Jacksonville Jaguars good. It never happened. It's never happened. That's the game.
Jim Kelly's last game was the only time the Bills have ever lost a home playoff game under Marv Levy
against the Jacksonville Jaguars. Barely an NFL franchise. They've never played a good game against them.
I'm not disagreeing with
you. I'm telling you right now. I'm just
looking at you.
Whatever the over-under is for that Monday night game, you know, obviously we'll find out as 2 weeks get played. Under. Hammer the under. That's what's going to happen. 19-16. That's my bet.
Wait. What was the score last year? The score last year was 25-20.
Still not great.
It's not bad, though. I mean, the over-under in that game was, what, probably like 35?
Goodness, even in that game. I mean, you're in London. Right. We're all talking about, did they leave too late? Should they have left earlier? Should they have even left later to, like, you know, not
have two major injuries back to back.
I mean, at the start of the game.
Yeah. But no, I mean, look at that game. That game.
And then the first time as a Jaguar, Calvin Ridley played well. The first time and only time. They've never played the Jaguars good. 803-0550 is the number to call. Want to share your predictions? Thank you for the call, Steve. Zach Jones and Josh Schmidt. Here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. We'll be right back.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Hey, fantasy football owners, I'm Matt Harmon.
And what's cracking up, James Coe? Join us on Reception Perception as we dive deep into wide receivers, the position that will make or break your fantasy team.
Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. nor taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.